Revelation 4:2. Let's start in verse number 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and beheld a throne that was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and so forth and so on. Describes the throne and what he saw. And quite a long revelation. We get the book of Revelation out of this whole book of Revelation from here on is an account of all that he saw in that vision. And so I think it's important that we understand how this all started because of the way it's stated here in these first two verses, especially the first two verses, because it says that there was a door opened in heaven, and then he heard this voice like a trumpet talking to him, and it said, come up hither, and then he was immediately, it says, he was in the Spirit. Say, in the Spirit. That's what was in my heart this afternoon. I have an entire set of notes that could be made a book tomorrow on this subject. Well, I mean, can't produce a book in a day, but I mean, it could become a manuscript. Just push a button and send it to somebody. But I haven't got released to release the book yet. I don't know. This subject, I think, is... it's really being lost in the body of Christ. And we are faith people, but we are, as a church here I'm talking about, but we are also spirit people. We're people that understand some things and are growing and learning in our understanding of some things about the move of the Spirit. And some of the things that happened on, on Monday night stirred me up about this again. Because how quickly things can happen and how much can happen whenever a group of people gets over in the Spirit and things just start bam, bam, bam. I mean, miracles and, I mean, I'm not sure you're aware of everything that was going on. I'm not going to go into all of it. But it was just wonderful. And I went home satisfied. I don't always go home satisfied, but I went home Monday night satisfied. Yeah. And so you see this passage where John heard this voice like a trumpet. It's the voice of Jesus, of course. And it said to him, come up hither. Come up hither. What is he talking about? Come into the Spirit. I still hear that summons today all the time. I don't mean audibly, you know what I mean, but it's all there's a call to the heart of every believer today to go higher, to go into another realm, to they are invited, in other words. As believers, we're invited. Remember, all of us have an invitation. Come boldly to the throne of grace. It doesn't always mean have a vision, you know. This is a vision here, which is one of the gifts of the Spirit in manifestation. This is discerning of spirits. He's seeing into the realm of the Spirit. But there's in the Spirit doesn't always equal seeing a vision. You read through the Bible says we're supposed to live in the Spirit. You know, Galatians 5, what is it, 16 and 24 and 25 down and through there. Two different places. One says live in the Spirit. One says we walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5, 16, I believe it says walk in the Spirit. And I believe it's verse 25 says we live in the Spirit. Or if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let's also live in the Spirit, you know. So there's living in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. That's something we live in all the time. And you and I can't have a vision all the time. You know, anybody that says they're living in a vision all the time, they're wacko. Get them away from me, you know. No, we don't live there all that time. But we are to live in the Spirit. Isn't that right? So, remember the Lord said to me, I'm going to just keep on repeating this and saying it because as a congregation, I believe it's good to keep on hearing this. The Lord said, I'm giving you, let me back up. I had a new, I think it was the end of chapter, I think it was the end of 2017, if I remember right, December. I had a sense, I was praying about the new year. I always spend extra time praying about the next year, you know, come the end of the previous year. Usually the end of, you know, December and so forth, praying about the new year. And I never remember that year. I had a sense of something's complete, something's done, something's, you know, and I'm like, are we done pastoring? What's going on here? And as I prayed in the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, what I'm doing is I'm giving you a new assignment to train this congregation in the things of the Spirit. And first assignment here to establish them in the Word. Of course, this is always going to be the Word anyway. But that assignment has been, gotten started. That's you never get done with that. We preach the Word for the rest of our lives. But that assignment, there's a measure of you have fulfilled that. And there's a new assignment to train this congregation that I'm giving to you. Train this congregation in the things of the Spirit. And oh, how I enjoyed the unity Monday night. That's something of the Spirit. That's being in one accord like we were last night. I'm not saying we're not tonight. I'm not saying that. But I just mean there was a unity. Everybody came hungry, expecting to get into the presence of God, pray something out, and just hang on and see what happens, you know. And it started happening. So if you weren't here, well, come next time. But there's a summons in the spirit realm to come on over into this more. Anybody hear it with me? Anybody got something stirring in you? I mean, part of what God did Monday night was to minister to people, of course. We prayed. There were some things we prayed out. And then the anointing switched. We started ministering to people. And part of what that was God loving on people and meeting needs, certainly always, because that's what that's all about. But second of all, it was a demonstration to this, to those who were here, that was designed to make you more hungry. You get a little taste of something, and you start going, nah. It's like somebody that's never had an ice cream cone before and you give them ice cream for the first time. And they go, uh-huh. Somebody said, you want to go for another one? Uh-huh. Why are they hungry for more? They've had a taste. Come on now. Taste and see that I am good. Taste and see, the Lord said, that I am good. So that's what that was. Part of that's what was happening on Monday night. I mean, I just get to thinking about it, and I'd get stirred up on the inside. I am so hungry for the move of God. Miracles. Healings. Signs. Wonders. I'm not talking about just something good that this congregation hears about. I'm talking about that the news gets out beyond the walls. And the city starts hearing about it. And those that are really hungry, they don't really care about religion or anything, but they just want, they're hungry for God. Start showing up and saying, pray for me. Lay hands on me. You know, come on. Praise the Lord. So, but there's two ways that, because the Lord said, I'm giving you a new assignment to train this congregation in the things of the Spirit. There's two ways to do that, by precept and then also by demonstration. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter number 2 talks about, Paul said there, he said, I came to you not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith might not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Amen. Notice that your faith would stand in the power of God. In other words, I came demonstrating that you would have faith for the move of the power of God. At some places, they don't have any faith that anything's going to happen because nobody there ever moves in it. They might talk about it. Amen. But then nobody expects anything to happen because it never has. Why would we expect it to happen because it never has? So they come just sort of like I'm standing here with my hands in my pockets, just kind of come, you know, we'll get a little teaching and then we'll go home. But Paul said there at Corinth, he said they had faith for the move of the power of God because he was coming demonstrating the move of the power of God. Everybody say demonstration. That's one way to develop faith in the congregation, is by demonstrating it. It starts being demonstrated and people start coming expecting to see it. Amen. They're not coming for 3 points in a poem anymore. Come on. Are you out there tonight? Hallelujah. So Paul said they had faith in the power of God. And one of the reasons they had faith is because somebody demonstrated it. You might say, I thought faith comes by hearing. Yeah, but faith also comes by somebody that's always moving in it. So they developed their faith to have it in their midst. Part of developing that faith as a minister will include demonstrations of the Spirit whenever he gets up to preach. Amen. Now, what happens here, Paul said, well, let's go back to the book of Revelation here. This is John. He said there was a summons to him to come over into that realm of the Spirit. Now, what do we mean the realm of the Spirit? Most Christians never think much about the fact that this natural realm that they contact every day, which we live in this natural realm, all right. But they don't think much about that there's other realms beyond this realm. They don't think about the fact that there is resources in that realm, beings in that realm. Now, I'm talking about the whole realm. I'm most interested in God. How about you? And in the realm of the Spirit. But there's demons over there as well. But then there's God, there's the Holy Spirit, there's Jesus, there's the angels. And we are created three-part beings, and two of our parts are spirit, and another one's body. So we are able to function in the natural realm. We ought to function well. We ought not be weird. But we also are able to and ought to function well in the spirit realm. Because we are spirit beings. And God is the Spirit. He contacts us through the spirit realm or in the spirit realm. And so this congregation is receiving, by God telling me, I'm giving you a new assignment to train this congregation in the things of the Spirit. You are receiving an invitation to go into some things in the realm of the Spirit. You're receiving an invitation to move in the Spirit with us, and you're receiving an invitation to move in the miraculous. Now, that invitation has been to the body of Christ ever since Jesus rose from the dead. But God, whenever he spoke to me to lead in this, then he's saying that he wants this whole congregation to go into some deeper things. Are you with me? He's calling us to some new places. He's calling us to another way of having services. He's calling us to pioneers. He's calling us. See, there are in the realm of this natural realm, there's explorers and pioneers in the realm of science and in the realm of technology and medicine and all different realms. There are people that are investigating, that are moving into the knowledge that they're learning, and all those are great and fine. But that's not what my call is. I'm the pioneer in the things of the Spirit. And we need people in the natural realm, but we need people in the spiritual realm to do some pioneering. Amen. To do some exploring. I don't know about you, but I went home and I started thinking about how that happened on Monday night and some of the things that happened. If I told you everything, there's a lot more happening than what some realize. But I went home thinking about it. I'm like, I noticed how this worked and how that worked. And I'm making note of this and I'm making note of that because I learned something. Yeah. Bible said, Paul said, I came in demonstration. And they learned by that demonstration. Well, when the Lord said, I'm giving you a new assignment to train this congregation. Well, part of that training is just stepping out over into it and letting it flow and then saying, I see this. I see how that worked. I see how that worked. Brother Hagin, I learned from Brother Hagin, and I noticed that Brother Hagin would teach it and then he would demonstrate it. He'd teach about the gifts of the Spirit, and then he'd demonstrate gifts of the Spirit. And when he was teaching, I was sitting there going, I get that. I understand that. That makes sense. I see that in the Word. That goes along. This verse says that, and so forth and so on. And then he'd demonstrate, and I'd go, oh, I didn't really know that. Yeah, now I know it. Now I understand what he's talking about. And of course, that's always by degree. We're still always growing and learning. Hallelujah. And so Revelation 4:2 says this invitation came to John. I hear that in this church, a call, a summons to go into some deeper things. However you want to say it, go move higher, move into some greater moves of the Spirit. And so the book of Revelation 4:2 in the Amplified says, at once, after the Lord said that, he said, at once I was in the Spirit in the King James. But the Amplified says, at once I came under the Holy Spirit's power. The Spirit of, to move in the Spirit means the anointing comes on you and you start going the way with the anointing. Yeah. Amen. Amen. You read in the New Testament, it says we live in the Spirit, we walk in the Spirit, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So we pray in the Spirit. The Bible says that we're to worship God in the Spirit. Philippians 3:3, we're of those who worship God in the Spirit. And so Jesus said in John 4, the Father seeks such to worship Him in spirit and in truth. So we worship in the Spirit, we pray in the Spirit, we walk in the Spirit, we live in the Spirit. We're to do everything we do. That's the key mark. That's the keynote truth of the New Testament, is that we as New Testament believers have transitioned from moving with God and worshiping Him and ministering in the flesh from the flesh in the Old Testament to over in the Spirit in the New Testament. Amen. We're to learn to do that. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Well, Pastor, I'm not a minister. How am I supposed to minister in the Spirit? Well, really, you are a minister. Yeah. You're to be taking this, what you're hearing here, to people that you come in contact with. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Pastor Debbie and I have had people healed on airplanes. You know, they're coming down, their ears are popping like crazy, and they said, ah, man, my ears are hurting. And I remember one time Pastor Debbie reached over and said, let me pray for you, and it was cleared up. That gets people's attention. We've seen that a number of times on the airplane. Hallelujah. Well, I'm not that bold. Come up here and let me lay hands on you and get you full. You're not full yet. Well, what are people going to think? Who cares what people think? Hallelujah. So he said, at once in the Amplified, I came under the Holy Spirit's power. Now, in this place called in the Spirit, the outer world is shut out, and the inner man, or my man's spirit, comes under further influence of the Holy Spirit, so that an immediate awareness and consciousness of the invisible world is given. Now, it might not be given in a vision form. Amen. But it's given. You become aware of something. There was a whole lot of activity Monday night. I was aware of a lot more going on than you could see. People, things were happening. Things were happening when we were praying. Things were happening when we were ministering. A lot of moving in the spirit realm. But we became aware of that. Amen. Now, this is something Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit, they long for. Whenever Jesus said in John 4:23, the Father seeketh such to worship Him, and the context is in the Spirit. He seeketh such, that means He's looking for people who move over into this realm. Yes. Move over into this realm. And you might say, how do I do that? Well, I'm glad you came tonight. It's good you came tonight, because you can learn some things tonight. And so, let's think about Proverbs 22:28. You're familiar with this. Remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set. In the Spirit is a landmark for the church today. In other words, a standard that those men of the Spirit who went before us in previous generations have set. The previous generations we didn't just, this church, us as your pastors, this church, didn't come in onto the scene here in Cedar Rapids because we just had a visitation from God. You know, Pastor David and I had a visitation. We have had visitation from God, but I'm saying it came because there were generations before us who pioneered and brought these things to this generation. We didn't come up with this. We didn't initiate this. We didn't start this. Somebody, God moved on people in generations before us and brought the body of Christ this revelation. And brought the body of Christ the things of the Spirit. Brought the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Brought the gifts of the Spirit. Brought all this, these truths of being in the Spirit. And I'm here to tell you a huge part of the body of Christ is losing it right now. But it's not going to be lost. Because there's always a remnant. I said there's always a remnant. Poke your neighbor and say, you is that remnant. I don't mean we're the only ones. Don't misunderstand me when I say that. We're part of that's what I'm saying. You don't know what you're here for? I just told you what you're here for. You're here to remember the Bible said over in Jude chapter number, only one chapter. What is it? Verse number 3. He said to earnestly contend for the faith. Verse 6, I mean. Earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. That was not just faith in the Word, although faith in the Word is always primary. But that was faith that Paul talked about. Faith that your faith would not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You and I are a church that stands in faith for the power of God. We believe in instantly being healed. We believe in demons being cast out. We believe in the ministry of angels. We believe in the Holy Ghost. We believe in signs and wonders. We believe in the miraculous. We believe in revelations. We believe in the spirit realm. We believe in God. We believe Jesus. We believe there are still Acts 9 events. We believe that we believe that people can be on the... I was praying about this today. I just know it. I know there are some people right now in this nation that don't love Him, aren't serving Him, but God has a plan and He's going to use them. And through our prayers, there's going to be Saul of Tarsus kind of stuff where... He gets knocked off his donkey. I prophesy tonight, some of them are going to be politicians. They're going hard this way, and they're going to have an encounter, and they're going to start going this way. We believe in all this. Believe it strong. Pray it out. Pray in the Holy Ghost. And know that there's things working. Glory to God. And these are the things that we've been contending for, and we're not, you know, because the Lord spoke to me at the beginning of this year, and I didn't think about it until I started looking at some things on the media, social media, but there's a whole lot of people having experiences being caught up, and then the Lord's talking to them. But we've been contending. The Lord said this year would be a year of Acts 9 events that would turn the church. And I'm telling you, there's a lot more unity out there. Now, there's the religious church out there doing their thing. There'll always be the religious church that doesn't have a thing in the world to do with what God's doing. But this remnant, these people that are hungry, are starting to come together. I'm loving watching it. I'm seeing it happen. Because we're realizing, hey, you know, we're going to come together here because what's happening, we're the ones that are going to have to pray this thing out. And we need one another. And there's a coming together. I love it. I'm watching it happen. I can see it in my heart more than I see it in the natural, but I'm even seeing it in the natural. Praise the Lord. People are saying, we've got to have a move of God or this nation's going under. So those who are hungry for that, they're getting together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So this is a landmark. This in the Spirit, this the move of the Spirit and so forth is a landmark. Now, seeker-sensitive things came into the body of Christ in order to, the devil brought seeker-sensitive to try to rob the church of the move of the Spirit. I don't know if you know what seeker sensitive is. I use that term. I think you know. That's basically a movement that started in the about around 2002, somewhere in there. A movement that started, and the movement was, don't move in the Holy Ghost because it'll turn away people that are seeking God. And we want to be sensitive to the... Well, how about being sensitive to the Holy Ghost? Who will never offend anybody who's really hungry. Who's really hungry. He'll offend religious people, but they're not hungry. Amen? So this is a landmark. I mean, you know, people like... Well, like you go all the way back to Paul, of course, or Jesus, of course. But you just come into more modern time, like Smith Wigglesworth, these founders, these John Alexander Dowie, Seymour, John G. Lake. You just go down the list, you know. E.W. Kenyon, the Pentecostal revival, all these things, the healing revival, all these healing evangelists, Jack Coe and William Branham and all these men. You know, Lester Summerall, Dr. Oral Roberts, and the Hagans of the world, and all these people that brought forward the move of God have entrusted it to us. And they say, bye-bye world, I'm out of here, it's yours. They pass the baton to us. So what are we going to do with it? Look at it and say, that sure is pretty. We want to never forget this. Let's put it in a case like put it in a museum and always look at this and remember this. Oh, and look back to the good old days. Say, wasn't it wonderful how these men moved with God? We've got a baton back here in a little glass case, and we dust it off and we make it, keep it, you know, we're visible where everybody can see how God moved in the previous generation. Well, we don't want to forget how God moved in the previous generation, but let's get that thing out and run our race. Let's run our race. Yeah. Glory. Yeah. That's what this church is all about. This is not just a word church. It is a word church. I said it's not just a word. This is a word and spirit church. Amen. What are word and spirit churches? They're people who have not removed the old landmarks which our fathers have set. And that's what we are. Amen. We're contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints, a faith that moves with the Spirit in line with the Word. Jesus said signs will follow the teaching and preaching of the Word. These signs will follow them that believe in my name. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with and confirming the Word with signs following. That's us. Amen. That's us. Can you see what you're a part of? Yes. Now, this is the standard in the New Testament. And so the things of the Spirit are all through the book of Acts, all through the New Testament. We ought to just keep reading and keep hungry about it. Just look at how Peter was in jail and an angel came, smacked him, said, wake up. And they walked through a gate and walked past, was it, three quadrant of soldiers and the gates opened and, whoo, glory. We ought to read that and say, oh, that's still for us today. That's still for us today. Now, you might not like the next one, but I'll tell you another one that's for us today. Is that Herod got up preaching he was giving some big speech. And they said, he's a God. And he didn't give God the glory. He took all that glory to himself. And the Bible said he's eaten of worms. Angel of the Lord smote him and he's eaten with worms. That's still for us today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Some of you didn't like that one as much. Glory. I had a prayer time, I've had some since, but October 24th, 2016. But in 2016, in October, I had a prayer time, and I had a tongue and interpretation. It was about this subject in the Spirit, and this is what the Lord said. So come on out into the inheritance of the redeemed, to the place where I dwell, and live as me, and walk in my realm. For I planned it for you and have provided this place and made it available to you in redemption. It's your inheritance, and it's your lot, and it's your privilege to walk in the Spirit. I've opened the door, and the door remains open for men to come into the Spirit and walk and live as supermen. I like that. I liked how he called it our inheritance. We talk about our inheritance of healing and our inheritance of provision, and it is just as much as anything else. We're not preaching against that. But he called this our inheritance. The spirit realm and all its resources. Everything that's there. All these endowments, all these gifts of the Spirit. Do you know that I've been coveting and praying about revelation gifts for over 2 years now? And I'm contending for a greater manifestation of it in the body of Christ. I'm contending for several things, and along that line, won't have time to get into all that. But I don't know but what. I don't know why I said that. But I'm just telling you, we're about to see some things. And we're about to see some things. Listen, revelation will start hitting the body of Christ that will fix some things, clear some things up, set some people on the right track, straighten their string out, get them back on the right track. Amen. There's going to be some visitations, some ministers. I keep seeing this. I keep seeing ministers just praying for their services, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost falls on them. And they don't know what's happening, but some new anointing comes on, and the Lord visits them. And talks to them about their ministry and said, you've cut out some things, and corrects them and gets them back on track. And they're going to come out and they're going to say, I repent. I've been preaching against this. I've been, not moving with God, and I'm coming out and I'm moving with God. There's going to happen. There's more of this. You're going to start seeing people, ministers, straighten out some things. Hallelujah. So tell your neighbor he's preaching better than your amen. In the Spirit, we've defined it in the past. We've given you four different definitions. I remember camp meeting a couple years ago. I preached this. Gave you four different definitions. I don't go through it all tonight. But basically, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:2, he that prayeth or speaketh in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. No man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Then in chapter 14, verse 14, he said, when I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. The Amplified says, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prayeth. You might say, I know what you're saying, Pastor. You've said this many times. Yeah, but are you operating in it? What is in the Spirit? He said in 1 Corinthians 14:2, when I pray in tongues, in the Spirit, I'm speaking mysteries. So praying in tongues is in the Spirit. But then 14th verse says what praying in tongues is. When I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit, King James says, or the Amplified says, by the Holy Spirit within me, prayeth. My spirit by the Holy Spirit. So 14:2 says when I pray in tongues, I'm in the Spirit. 14:14 says in tongues means my spirit by the Holy Spirit pray. So in the Spirit means my spirit doing something out of my spirit under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Let's put it this way. It's doing something out of our spirits by the direction, leading, anointing, and unction of the Holy Spirit rather than out of our minds. Our minds are not ruling us at the time. We're following the Holy Ghost in here. Now, that's tongues. That's what tongues is in the Spirit. But everything that's done in the Spirit is done that way. Out of your spirit by the leading, direction, anointing, power, or however you want to say it, of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's in the Spirit. Amen. Did you get that? Yes. We've been over that many times, so I went over it pretty quickly. But I want you to know that's one of the definitions of in the Spirit. Another one could come right out of Revelation 4:2. What does in the Spirit mean? He said the voice came and said, come up hither. And then it says, immediately I was in the Spirit. Isn't that right? Immediately, I was in the Spirit. Now, when he said that, all of a sudden, he started defining what he was seeing. All of a sudden, he became more conscious of what was in another realm than he was wherever, I don't know if he's in a building. I don't know if there were buildings on the Isle of Patmos. I don't know what all was going on there. But let's say he was in a building. I don't know. And he's kneeling by a chair or something. All of a sudden, he's not conscious that that chair is even there. All of a sudden, he's not conscious that he's even in a building. All of a sudden, his eyes have been opened to another realm, and he's seeing God's throne. He's hearing the voice of Jesus himself. Isn't that right? Remember that voice like a trumpet? And so he said, I saw the throne of God. I saw the angels around the throne of God. And he went on for chapter after chapter to say everything he saw. Well, then there's a definition of in the Spirit. How could we define it? We could say in the Spirit means we have become more conscious of spiritual things at the moment than natural things. Amen. Being more conscious of God. Being more conscious of the Word. Being more conscious of God's solution than your problem. People that are talking about their problem all the time are not in the Spirit. They're in the flesh. Amen. People that are always talking about what the Word says about their problem, and they aren't even talking about their problem. They just keep saying what the Word says. They're in the Spirit. They're more conscious of God and His Word and His solution. No wonder faith is of the heart. And not of the head. Amen. Because you're believing something you cannot see. But it's just as real. See, unseen does not mean unreal. But see, it can be there and you and I not be conscious of it. And therefore we're acting like it's not even there. Amen. Hallelujah. And so that's why the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The Amplified says being the conviction of their reality. The conviction of their reality. There are realities that are not seen. And until you use your faith that they're there, because the Word, which is the map of the spirit realm, this is the map of the spirit realm. It's the map of the throne of God. Somebody said, where is the throne of God? It's not in Chicago. It's not in Atlanta. It's not in New York. It's not in Cedar Rapids. It's in another realm. It's not in the natural realm. But it's there. And it's real. People come to church. They sit under the Word for a while. And then they get excited and thrilled. And then they go, I've got to go back out to the real world now. That's because you're living in the flesh. This is the real world. Hebrews 9:24 says that when God told Moses to make the tabernacle, he was saying, see that you make it according to the pattern shown thee on the mount. And Hebrews 9, verse number 24, can I just read that to you? In the King James, first of all, it says, talking about that tabernacle on the earth and all the, you know, worship ceremonies that God told them to make and everything. He said in Hebrews 9:24, Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands. Talking about that tabernacle or then the permanent one in the temple, which is the figure of the true. But he's entered, in other words, into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for you. So, if you read the previous verse, go back to verse 23. It was necessary, therefore, that the pattern of the things in the heavens, talking about the earthly tabernacle that God told Moses to make, he told him exactly how to make it. You remember, he said, this is how long it's supposed to be. This is how wide. This is what you make it out of. It's got an inner court. It's got a, you know, the altar in there. It's got the Ark of the Covenant, everything. He said, this is how you make it. He told him exactly how to make it. And why was God saying, this is how I want you to make it? It's because that's the way the one is in heaven. And so it was necessary, verse 23, that the pattern of the things in the heavens should be purified with these. The pattern of the things in heaven was the earthly ones. It was patterned after the one in heaven. So they should be purified with these, talking about the blood of animals. But the heavenly things themselves with better than these. In other words, Jesus didn't take his blood into the earthly Holy of Holies. He took it into heaven itself. The ones that the tabernacle they built on the earth, that the blood of animals was taken in there, it was only a type of what Jesus was going to do, taking his blood into the one in heaven. Can you follow what he's saying?
Yeah.
For Christ is not entered, verse 24, into the holy places made with hands. Talking about the ones which are on the earth. Which is the figure of the true. But into heaven itself. Now to appear in the presence of God for us. These earthly ones are the figure of the true.
Yeah.
Now listen to the... Are you out there? You still here? Listen to the Weymouth. It says, rather than a figure of the true, it says, a mere copy of the reality. What is reality? Reality is not the natural realm. People say, that world, that realm's not real. That's because you're real, carnal. You're living in the flesh. You're more aware of fleshly things. Your hugamuga, your problem, what the devil's saying to you, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Then you are of God, his realm.
Yeah.
What God's saying.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the definitions of in the spirit. It means you're more conscious of God and his realm and what's in his realm than you are of the natural realm. Now, there's degrees of that. John was into the spirit where he had a vision, and he could see it with his eyes, physical eyes being open. But there's degrees of this. You can be conscious of spiritual things without having a vision. Because the Word of God that tells you all about it becomes real to you. More real to you than anything in the natural. That's whenever you're going to be strong in faith. That's when you're going to be strong in faith. Faith is the conviction of things not seen. Having the Amplified says, being convicted or convinced of its reality.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I got to go there. You got to go there. Go back to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 1. King James says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Remember the Amplified? I'm quoting the Amplified. It says, it's the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality.
Yeah.
Say reality.
Reality.
There is a real throne of grace.
Yes.
There is a real, God is real.
Yes.
A lot of people, he's not real to them, but that's because they don't have this faith, which is the conviction of that reality.
Yeah.
Things don't become real if you don't have faith. It's faith that makes them real. Amen. Hallelujah. Conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. I perceived as real fact that there are angels assisting this congregation. Many have been kept this year. Your homes have been kept this year. Lives have been kept this year. Yeah. I perceive as real fact. People say it was a coincidence. No. People say that because of a lack of faith. You can stare God right in the face and not see him if you don't have faith. I see God in many places and people don't see him. Amen. Well, everybody say he's preaching still better than your amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So that's another definition of in the spirit. We'll just stop with those two definitions right now. But in the spirit is something that we've got to grow in. That doesn't mean we're having a vision all day long. I mean, how many of you know you got to work? You got things to do. You got to operate in the natural realm. Isn't that right? And you could say, let me just go a little further with the definition of in the spirit. People say, well, I'm praying in tongues, so I'm praying in the spirit. Okay, yeah, we understand that. But tongues, or let me put it this way, in the spirit is not necessarily a way you're praying. It is a place you go to pray.
Amen.
Where's the place?
Yeah.
Well, the place is your own spirit by the Holy Spirit. You can do that in tongues, can't you? That's what tongues is. But you can also do that in English. Ira amasi irinonge efestus unjenge. Pastele ingo fastasus ango asato breche engluke. Learn to think in terms of developing in these things. Developing your spirit to be sensitive and aware of the Holy Spirit and spiritual things. Develop your life in the Spirit. Develop the lifestyle of being conscious of spiritual things and of all the resources that are there. All the power of God. All the angelic assistance. And all that this realm holds for you as a believer. So develop in the Spirit. Develop yielding your tongue to the Holy Spirit. Develop it in tongues, but develop it in English. Praying in English to the Father under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, where your mind has little or nothing to do with it. But also living in the Spirit, always speaking only those things which are coming into your spirit and not those things that are inspired by your flesh. Not those things that your intellect is trying to figure out and understand. So live. And develop a lifestyle of living this way. And you'll go from glory to glory. And I'll take you on and move you into greater and deeper things. Things that your heart will be greatly satisfied by. Because the Spirit of God in you has been yearning to take you there. And as you begin to respond, and you'll begin to develop. And I'll take you on. And you'll begin to have more and more experiences with me. For the time of the end is a time of much experience in the Holy Ghost. The time of greater experiences. Yes, there'll be many who'll be caught up to receive the plan for their life. Receive the understanding of that plan. And whenever that understanding comes, things will become clear. And it'll start to click. This is why I'm here. This is what I'm about. And they'll walk in that and become a great blessing. But not only become a great blessing, the glory of the Lord will begin to get stronger and stronger on their life. And that glory will take them on and cause them to even develop further. And by the time that the Lord returns, they'll have said, I have accomplished my course. I have finished my race. I did what the Spirit wanted me to do. I brought my supply. And oh, the supply that it was. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going on. I'm going on. I'm going on. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember, says the Lord, that there's the good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God. Remember that the good and acceptable is as one moves from the good to the acceptable to the perfect is as one's mind is renewed. So then you see that as you're learning to think along my word, in the lines of my word, and as you're learning to think in line with what's coming up out of your spirit, for I teach you in your spirit by my spirit. As you learn to let that dominate you and not your mind dominate you because it's unrenewed, then you'll go closer and move closer and further into the best that I have for you. The best that I have for you as an individual and the best that I have for you as a congregation. From one degree of my will to another. From the good, the acceptable, and then into the perfect. The perfect is where the Spirit of God has His perfect way, in line with the Word. The perfect is where it's no longer the mind dominating you or me, but it's dominating, the Spirit of God within our spirit is dominating our thinking. And we walk in that, and walk in the knowledge of that, rather than in the knowledge that our intellect has calculated. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. So come on out of the realm of the natural and figuring things out. And walk with me in the spirit realm. And trust me. Trust the Holy Ghost within you. For He'll guide you and He'll teach you and He'll let you know this is the way. Walk ye in it. And this is not the way. Don't walk in that. This is not the person. Don't walk in unison with them. Don't have fellowship with them. Don't listen to their idea of me, says the Lord. For some will say, this is the thing about God, and this is the way He does things, and this is Him, and that's not me at all, says the Spirit. That's not my way at all, says the Spirit. They are speaking out of an unrenewed mind. So guard your fellowship. Guard your fellowship. For those who do not have their mind renewed with my word and don't listen to my teacher, the Holy Ghost on the inside, they'll speak things which will give you a wrong perception and give you a wrong understanding. And you will not fulfill my perfect will if your mind is renewed, is not renewed to my word, but conformed to that thinking. So come on up. Come on up. Separate yourself from life in the flesh. And those who seek to have a fleshly Christianity. And separate yourself unto my will. My perfect is that you walk and live and minister in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just say we receive that, Lord. Lift up your hands and just say it out loud. I receive that, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Respond. This is the Holy Ghost keeps talking. Respond unto me. Respond unto me. Respond to the yearnings of your own spirit. Let your spirit have his way. For the Spirit of God calls to your spirit. The Spirit of God moves upon you, and your own spirit begins to yearn for that which the Spirit of God is moving on you to say or moving on you to do. As it's written, deep calleth unto deep. And so I call deep unto your spirit, my spirit, wooing you to prayer, wooing you to separate yourself from this, or cut this out, or this habit out, and wooing you to a life with me, walking with me, walking in the spirit realm, talking and communing with me, where my spirit can teach your spirit. And begin to let your spirit, you'll begin to let your spirit dominate you. And as you walk in the light of what my spirit's teaching your spirit, you'll come further into this area of being in the spirit. And things of the flesh will fall off. And habits and bondages of the flesh will just seem to melt away. And you'll turn and within a number of months you'll turn and say, well, my goodness, that's not even a part of my life anymore. That's just gone. That habit, that bondage, it's just gone. But see, respond, says the Spirit. Respond unto me. Respond unto me. You don't have to work these things out in the flesh. You just have to respond. That's what I'm calling you to do as a congregation. Respond. 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 And don't say in your mind, if I respond, where will I end up? Where will I go? Will I be in a plan that I don't want to be in? Will I be in a place that I don't want to be in, or my flesh doesn't want to be in? Well, let me work all that out in you, says the Lord. As you respond, I'll work in you both to will and to do of my pleasure. And it'll become a delight, and it'll become a joy. And that which you at one time dreaded and one time was afraid of, yea, now you delight in. Because it's God's perfect will. It's your Father's perfect plan. And it's your delight, and you delight to do His will, because you've come out of the flesh, and you've come out of the mind, and you've come over into the Spirit. And you'll become not just greatly satisfied within your own self, but many things will begin to become more blessed than they have been up to heretofore. Many areas of your life, finances, your own home, the peace in your own conscience, you'll sleep better at night, many more financial blessings, many health will spring forth speedily in your body, and many, many things that you have thought and said, I want this to be greater in my life. They'll spring forth as you follow on to know me, as you follow on in that call to your spirit to come on into my plan. And you'll say, if I'd have known how good it is, I'd have done this much quicker. For the enemy lies, and he bids high for you to not come to this place. But all that you yearn for is here. All that your heart calls for, all that you desire even to have in this life, it's here. For I am here, and I am the one that hold all these things. And these are all things that come from me. And I can give them to you when you walk in my perfect will and not my acceptable. Ha ha. And so come on in. Lay aside your own desires and say, I am his and he is mine. And his plan is my plan and his will is my will. And I want his best. And you'll see in the process of time that all those desires you had for this life, he'll bring them back around and they'll all come to pass. And you'll stand in the glory of God. And you'll stand in the fullness of his plan. And you'll stand in the fullness of those blessings that he has for your life. Woo! And you'll shout and you'll dance, and the joy of the Lord will be upon you and rise up within you, and it'll be as if days of heaven on earth have come to your life. Woo! Glory to God. 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 Glory to oh, 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 oh. Woo, glory. Ha ha ha. Woo, glory to God. Glory to God. He's talking to a lot of people, but he's talking to you. Hallelujah. 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 Ha 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 ha. Just surrender. That's what the Holy Ghost is saying. Just surrender. What do I mean, surrender? I mean, just give up your plan. Yeah, but I want this and I want that. He'll bring it all to pass. You got to trust him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Justin was telling me, as a young man, I don't know all the details, but he had a desire to fly, become a pilot. And, you know, things happen, and, you know, he decided, or, you know, he thought he had to do different things. But he got right in the middle of the plan of God, and here's God giving it right back to him. Bam! You know, to sit on the front row, you got to respond to the Holy Ghost. Woo! Glory! Glory! Woo! Hallelujah! Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Remember Jesus, he walked in the Spirit. He's perfect at it. They needed tax money. He had the revelation. It's down there in that fish's mouth. Go fishing, Peter. Take a hook, go down there, and get the first fish. He'll have the coin in his mouth. Woo, glory be to God. Everything he needed was fully supplied. Why? Because he lived in the Spirit. He got. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha. Ha 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 ha. Caleb White, go ahead and surrender all the way. Stop holding back. Just go for it. Ha 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 ha. Ha 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 ha. That's right, some people don't have any joy. They're doing their own plan. They look like they're sucking on persimmons. Not just persimmons, persimmons that aren't ripe yet. You ever had a persimmon that wasn't ripe yet? I was plowing a field one time. My parents, you know, had a farm, and I was plowing a field, and I went past a persimmon tree. They told me it was down there, but I plowed past it, and I thought, I'm going to taste those. And I didn't know they weren't ripe. I put it in my mouth, bit into it. Hair started growing in my mouth. And you're going, terrible. Well, some of you have been looking like that for months. Like you're sucking on persimmons. Must be doing your own plan, I guess. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 Did you hear what the Holy Ghost said? Your health will spring forth speedily. Many of these blessings you've been wanting. How many of you know that might not start tomorrow? I mean, it'll start tomorrow, but you might not see it all tomorrow. But you just stay with it. You just stay with it. Payday will come. Payday will come. Ha 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 ha. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Anybody glad you came tonight? See, the flesh will bid high for you. The devil will bid high for you. Tests and trials will try to get you out of the plan of God. The devil, you know, in all these ways, try to get you to do your own thing. But if you stay faithful, you stay faithful, the day will come and you'll be days of heaven on earth. Days of heaven. I've got more of those now than I've ever had, and I recommend them. Amen. Becky got that one. I recommend them. Hallelujah. Praise God. Who's going to sing something? Somebody got something to sing? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, I'm hungry for a mighty move of God. Lord, I'm thirsty. Pour out your Holy Ghost. Lord, I want to see the hand of God move mightily inside of me. Lord, I'm hungry for a move of God.
Sing it with him. Sing it out loud with him.
Lord, I'm hungry. Lord, I'm hungry for a move. God, move mightily inside of me. Lord, I'm hungry for a move. Lord, I'm hungry for a move. One more time, I'm hungry. Yes, I'm hungry for a mighty move of God. Lord, I'm thirsty. Pour out your Holy Ghost. Lord, I want to see the hand of God inside of me. Lord, I'm hungry for a move of God. I want to see, Lord, I want to see the hand of God move mightily inside of me. Lord, I'm hungry for a move of God. Oh, I want to see, the hand of God move mightily inside of me. Lord, I'm hungry for a move of God.
Hallelujah. Say this out loud. To see the move of God means I must move with God. Did you get it? To see the move of God, you and I have got to move with God. That's what he's talking about whenever we were prophesying. He said, go ahead, respond. Isn't that right? Well, what's going to happen? See, that takes faith, doesn't it, to respond? You just got to step out. Hallelujah. Linda, can I minister to you? Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Some services reach the best God has for that service, and then others don't. You know what I'm talking about? And most of the time it's because somebody either didn't know or didn't respond. It could be the minister, it could be others, didn't respond to what God was wanting them to do. Amen. But we're learning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yes, yes, yes. That gift is there. And it's always been there. So it's now it begins to come to the forefront in the name of Jesus. Mashike. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you. So we thank you for fire on her lips, utterance in the name of Jesus to say what the Spirit tells her. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Where's Coco? Come up here. You were ministered to last night for a lump or bump or whatever. Which arm was that? What happened? You fell. Oh.
Twice.
And it put a lump there or It was 2016, but it was there, but it wasn't hurting. Wasn't hurting. Uh-huh. 2 months ago. Uh-huh. She was ministered to, and she's standing in faith.
It was hurting.
Last week it was hurting.
Sunday.
Sunday night it was hurting.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Hallelujah. Well, what happened? Yeah. Yeah. Which morning?
Monday morning.
Monday morning.
Yeah.
Monday morning, the pain was, her word was huge. Yeah. Yeah. Monday night. Yeah. I didn't.
Now I go home.
So what happened?
I need to show people.
Yeah.
There's no bump.
No lump.
I don't know how it just
disappeared. It just disappeared. And it was hurting Monday morning real bad. And whenever the power of God came on you, the bump disappeared and the pain left. Hallelujah.
I didn't want to come Monday.
You didn't want to come Monday?
Because I said, I feel so tired.
Feel so tired.
I said, I need to sleep. I need to do this.
Yeah. So, aren't you glad you came? And your children got ministered to. Praise the Lord. Yeah, Kevin, okay, where's the mic? We're going to go here in a minute. Where's the mic? This was another testimony. This is my mic. Hope that works. Come up here and face them. So Kevin hasn't lifted his hands like that.
No.
No, he hadn't lifted his hands. No. And he really hasn't talked.
No.
But did you hear him Monday night?
Since Monday, he's talking.
Since Monday, he's talking.
He's talking. He's talking. And today he has online class, and I hear him saying, "Oh Lord Jesus." He's talking.
He's talking.
He's talking.
Yeah.
And he's doing the same.
Yeah.
I will grow up. I will grow up. He keeps saying.
He keeps saying, "I will grow up." Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So he hadn't been raising. How many years had he not raised his hands?
Since
October 2018, he hasn't raised his hand. Yeah. How long has he not talked?
This year, 2019.
All 2019 and this year.
Yeah,
he hasn't talked.
He just said some words.
Yeah.
But he can't talk like.
Yeah, now he's talking.
Like he's opening his mouth. He's talking. He's talking.
Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
It's all glory.
I just wanted you to hear the testimonies.
It's huge.
Yes.
I just have a lot. Thank you, Pastor.
Yes.
Yes. You are
yes.
a gift.
Thank God, you. You're a delight.
God bless you.
You're a joy. Hallelujah. 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 We're in it.